Hare Krishna. Welcome everyone to this most auspicious day, the day the Lord came to this world in the most secret form, the Channa avatar. Channa means covered. And of course there's deep meaning behind this term, Channa avatar, and we're going to try to glorify Lord Chaitanya and enter into his mood. There's a verse in the Bhagavad Gita, in the fourth chapter, towards the beginning, that discusses this point. Sa evaya maya tedya yoga prokta puratana bhakto sime saka chiti rahasyam yetat uttamam. And here, Lord Krishna is explaining that the ancient science of devotional service to the Lord is not so easy to understand. This is what this word rahasya means. Rahasya means secret, means hidden, you know. And the key or the mood or the mentality that is required in order to understand actually the existence, the presence, the knowledge concerning the Supreme Personality of Godhead and all of his energies and how they work together to give us everything. That key is pure devotional service. And this pure devotional service in this verse is encapsulated in the word sakha, friend. Lord Chaitanya came for many reasons. Hare Krishna. Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami in the Chaitanya Charitamrita dedicates three chapters in the beginning of the book to explain Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his advent, who he actually was, what his mindset was. Surprisingly, even in India, the identity, the true identity of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is often overlooked, is it not? Those of you, many of you who are from the motherland, I say motherland because it's my motherland also. Now, yes, Hare Krishna. And even sometimes devotees who come to this movement, this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. This Hare Krishna movement is the movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to this world, he appeared in a lunar eclipse. And you know, lunar solar eclipse, they are considered inauspicious and auspicious both. Inauspicious in the sense that the natural thing is being covered, is distorted, which makes people feel spooky, actually. And auspicious because it gives everyone a nice reason to stop doing whatever they're doing you know, and go to the holy rivers and bathe together and chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And this is exactly what happened. At the moment Lord Chaitanya advented, everyone in India was in the holy rivers, the Ganga, the Krishna, the Kaveri, the Yamuna, and they were chanting Hare Krishna. This was Lord Chaitanya's mission, to come and get everyone to chant Hare Krishna, and he did it before he even opened up his mouth, before he even, you know, appeared. Everyone was chanting Hare Krishna, you know. But he didn't appear as Krishna appeared and declare himself to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And for this reason, sometimes people misunderstand him and neglect him. You know, if a person is proud and you exhibit humility in front of them by saying, oh, I'm not very qualified, I'm this, I'm that, they will say, yes, you're right, and they'll go somewhere else. The proud person cannot recognize the glory of true humility. True humility is when a person has all good qualities and is capable of doing miraculous things and does them, not just potentially, but actually does them, and at the same time feels himself or herself as the lowest of the low, lower than everyone else. This is true humility, and it's very difficult to understand. And it is also the key to being able to have the presence of mind to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra constantly. Your chair, we get chair? Get him a chair. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. So, in just a few more verses from this verse in the of the Gita, in which Krishna lauds Arjuna for his quality of devotion and friendship. Friendship means affection. And one cannot actually understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead fully and in the most confidential, intimate ways without friendship, without feeling affection, genuine affection for Krishna. And furthermore, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says that the awe and reverence that comes from understanding Krishna's greatness impedes that affection. You know, when you're in the presence of a very, very big man, the tendency is to respect that person and stand, and, you know, the high court judge, you stand before he comes, President of the United States, everybody stands, even the Congress, you know, in the State of the Union talk, when he comes in, everybody stands up and they clap as loud as they can and as long as they can, because that's what you do. That's what you do in that event. That's how you do it. That's how you do them under that circumstance. So Krishna, he came and he gave this order, Sarva Dharman Parityaja, Mame Kam Charanam Vraja, Ahang Tvam Sarva Papebhyo Mokshayishami Mahachuchaha. You should stop worrying, even though this material world is a very dangerous place, even though everyone who's here must by definition, commit sinful activities and take reactions for them, and therefore suffer? Dukalayam, mamupeti punarjanma, dukalayam, ashasvatam, Krishna says in the Gita. He certifies that the material atmosphere is a place which is in which the forms and therefore the relationships and therefore the temporary affection is all ephemeral. It's ephemeral. It cannot last. And therefore, all of us, souls who are eternal by nature, as parts and parcels of God, of Krishna, we're hankering for that. We're always looking for that. Therefore, they've developed huge scientific communities based on the quest for longevity. And even if they can't get it, they have another side, huge industry to try to make the body look younger. You know, cosmetic industry, it's huge. Billions and billions of dollars they spend trying to, you know, Botox and, you know, put things there. Yeah, hip tuck, nip and tuck, this and that tuck. You know, they're trying to hide it, you know, and make sure, but those of us who are getting over 60, we know it's not possible. It's not possible to hide it altogether, you know. So Krishna says, ma suchaha, don't worry about that. Just surrender unto me. Only. Mam ekam, Krishna says. And you know, the nature of the material world is that time makes us forget. And as we get older, you know, the first thing that goes is the short-term memory. So because of that combined effect of time, even though Krishna came and, you know, removed all doubt as to who God was, you know, philosophers and religionists and thinkers since time immemorial have been discussing the topic about God, who, how, what, where, when, if or not, all these things. Of course, the subject matter is always God. So it would be a little bit ridiculous, as Prabhupada pointed out many times, if they were talking all this time, all these people, about something that didn't exist. Doesn't make much sense. Therefore, it requires spiritual intelligence. It requires spiritual intelligence. You won't get the intelligence to understand Krishna by getting a PhD, even in technology. Sorry. I didn't mean to disappoint you all, but this is the truth of the matter. In fact, that knowledge is nothing more than craftsmanship. Before the Industrial Revolution, they used to ride on horses, or donkeys, or, you know, mules, or oxen. They would use these animals for their transportation and their, you know, labor in so many ways. And there was a person in the village who was called the blacksmith. And he would heat the fire and make it very hot and put, you know, steel and hammer and make the horseshoes and make various implements that were needed in order to harness, you know, the animals to the cart or to the, or whatever. They were called craftsmen. And now, you know, they're orbiting around the earth in very high-tech equipment. But the reality is they're just craftsmen. That's what this knowledge is. It's actually craftsmanship. It's not real knowledge. It doesn't explain, you know, who we are or why we came here or what we're doing here or what we're meant to do or any of that. It's just the same effort, the same old thing. And the more advanced you become in material knowledge, the easier it is to forget why we're here. It's easier to forget where everything came from, why everything is so profoundly organized. This requires spiritual intelligence. And this is what Krishna is explaining to Arjuna in this verse. Sa evaya maya tedya yoga prokta puratana. This yoga, this spiritual knowledge is puratana. It is ancient. Not only is it ancient, it's eternal. It never changes. The nature of knowledge that comes from craftsmanship is that it's always changing because you got to make a newer and a newer and newer and newer and newer thing, you know? It's the nature of this world, of the material existence. And Krishna says the real thing is spiritual intelligence. And he defines the spiritual intelligence in a very wonderful way in this verse, in very almost the beginning of the book. You know? Sa evaya mea teja yoga prokta puratana bhakto si me sakha chiti. I'm explaining this to you, this spiritual knowledge of how to get free from the sufferings of the material existence, how to live happily in this world, it really happily in this world, because you are my devotee and you are my friend. This requires affection. It requires to be a friend, to be an actual friend of someone else, requires genuine affection. And that genuine affection comes from the spiritual platform. It comes from spiritual vision. It comes from seeing beyond the body to the soul. And this is, therefore, rahasyam yetad utamam, secret, confidential. Rahasya means secret. There's another verse, actually, in the Gita where Krishna says the same thing to Arjuna, idam tute guhyatamam. This word guhyatamam, they make, in India, they make gufa. Gufa means an underground room, gufa, cave. Also cave means gufa. But they sometimes in India, because it's very, very hot, they make a room underneath so you can go to get cool. Idam tute guhyatamam prabhaksham anasuyave. Anasuyave means free from envy. As long as there's envy in the heart, as long as there's avarice, as long as there is lust and greed and anger and illusion and all those things in the heart, we cannot penetrate the material intelligence for spiritual intelligence. We cannot feel genuine affection for the Lord. So this is what Krishna did. He's in Goloka Vrindavan. He sees himself in a jeweled pillar. And that form is so lovely and so attractive and so sweet and so wonderful that he becomes himself smitten by his own reflection. You sometimes see creatures looking in mirrors, and you know the kitten will look in the mirror, and start to he just gets smitten by the reflection of his own reflection in the mirror. All these things, everything, is there. Everything that we like, everything that gives us joy, everything that makes things interesting, it's because it's there in Krishna. So he came, he exhibited the potencies and the power and the influence and everything else about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and because of time, the nature of time, we forget. We forget. Therefore, he has to continually come again and again in order to remind us. And in this particular avatar, in the Chana avatar, it is extremely, extremely special. Because it is secret. It's not just for anyone. It's even more secret than Krishna's appearance, because Krishna at least, you know, says it openly. Yes, I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But every time someone tried to call Lord Chaitanya the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he would put his fingers in his ears and he'd run away. No, you can't call me this. Because he was acting as a devotee. This is what Chana Avatar means. He came and he acted as a devotee of himself, and he showed us how to be the perfect devotee. This is the importance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance. Without this appearance, we cannot know how to be a devotee of Krishna. What to speak of to be the Sakha or the Sakhi, the friend, the affectionate well-wisher of God, the friend, the lover, the wife even. It's inconceivable to an ordinary person. How can anyone understand this? It's impossible. Therefore, he came as Chana Avatari, and he brought this holy name. And he benedicted us by being able to hear his own holy name through his lips. And the sound was so powerful, that day when he appeared that night, the lunar eclipse, and everyone was chanting Hare Krishna. That's what they do in India during lunar eclipse. He invoked the holy name in a very wonderful way. And then, when he was growing up, he would cry, and he would cry, and he would cry, and he would cry. You know how that is, mothers. That can really get on your nerves after a while. And the local ladies, they would come and they would, you know, chant Hare Krishna. And as soon as they started to chant Hare Krishna, he would stop. After a few times of this, they got the idea, they got the hint, you know. Oh yeah, this is the way to, you know, create peace and harmony in this neighborhood. Right? Chant Hare Krishna. Be happy. And he was so beautiful. He was Krishna. But he covered. Even great devotees, even Advaita Acharya, who at that time was the Acharya of the Vaishnav community. He was the senior person and the Acharya of the Vaishnav community. And he would regularly, every day, conduct Bhagavatam classes in glorification of Krishna, of course. And Lord Chaitanya's brother, Vishwaroop, was very attracted to the classes of Advaita Acharya. And he used to go there every day. Of course, Mother Sachi, she was a little nervous about that, to say the least. But, so she would send Nimai, little Nimai, just 3 years old, 4 years old, naked. Send him. Go and get your brother for lunch. He's late. And little Nimai would come into the assembly, and he was so gorgeous, and his effulgence was so complete that everybody, including Advaita Acharya, would just stop what they were doing and just stare at him. They couldn't get over it, how beautiful he was, and how sweet, and how pure, and how innocent. They couldn't get over it. So, in this way, Lord Chaitanya covered himself by Yoga Maya. He covered himself. He didn't allow anybody to see him, especially before he came out and started the Krishna consciousness movement, especially before that. I mean, Lord Chaitanya's pastimes are the most wonderful thing. And we want to stimulate the spiritual intelligence of everyone, especially those who were born in India surprisingly enough, because you have so many pious credits, you have so many sangskaras that you have performed in previous lifetimes to get yourself a birth in India. But this is very difficult to understand, Lord Chaitanya. So especially, we're praying that this curiosity will grab your heart and want and push you to find out more and more about Lord Chaitanya. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that if one worships Radha and Krishna but does not worship Gauranga Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda, or if one worships Gauranga Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda without worshiping Lord Radha and Krishna, then they are Pashandi, atheist. It's the same thing as atheism. Because you cannot get, especially in this age, especially at this time, you cannot get this understanding through anyone else other than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That is how important this is. And the tsunami, when Lord Chaitanya came and chanted, at first it was secret. When he first started this movement, he was meeting with just his pure devotees. No one else was allowed in the room. Dvaitacharya, Srinivas, Srivas, you know, Gadadhar Pandit, Lord Nityananda. In the beginning, it was just them. And then, you know, a few others. Mukunda, few others. No one else was allowed. One time they tried to smuggle someone in. They put him in a basket because he was a very pure-hearted Brahmin and he only drank milk. And then, you know, partway in the kirtan, Lord Chaitanya stopped. He said, something wrong here. We can't go on with this kirtan. Somebody has entered. It's not pure. You know, and everybody's going, And then finally, you know, because Lord Chaitanya was Lord Chaitanya, they had to come clean. That's the thing about Lord Chaitanya, you have to come clean. And so someone said, yeah, well, there was this one Brahmin and we brought him in because he's so pure, he only drinks milk. And Lord Chaitanya said, he only drinks milk? Do you think that you can get my mercy by drinking milk? Out! You know, so he threw him out. And they cooked the kirtan. They cooked up the kirtan and cooked up the kirtan until the prema was so thick and so sweet that it just blew the doors and windows off the house, basically. And that began a tsunami, which has now, you know, reached all over the world by the mercy of A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, the emissary of Lord Chaitanya in this world, the world acharya, whose mercy we're sitting here together now, you know, glorifying Lord Chaitanya with some drop, you know, middle, minuscule, atomic drop of understanding, which is enough to inundate the world and take out whatever imperfections are there in the heart and give pure love for Krishna. Namo Mahavaranyaya Krishna Prem Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gaura Tvije Namaha. This was Rupa Goswami's prayer to Lord Chaitanya when he first met Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya was so attractive that he would immediately attract the most exalted people. Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, they were like big guys in the human society, in the scheme of things, in the human society at that time in Bengal. Chief minister, prime minister, whatever they called him at that time, next to the king. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. You know, 60,000, he was grihastha, and he had 60,000 sannyasi disciples. Talking about being a weighty person. This is the level of person that Lord Chaitanya convinced. And in this way, he transformed the subcontinent of India, literally transformed it. When Lord Chaitanya would go on kirtan, anybody who saw him from a distance, he was 7 feet 3 inches tall. In Bengal, 500 years ago, he might have stood out a little, 7 feet 3. And his complexion was golden, like molten gold. It was so brilliant and so gorgeous. Gorhari, Gorasundar, the most beautiful golden color. Why? Because when he decided, when he saw that reflection in the pillar in Goloka Vrindavan, and he got so smitten with himself and his beauty and his charm and his sweetness, he said, "Whoa, I've got to find out, you know, who this person is. Yeah, I've got to taste this person. I got to see what this is all about." And then he started to think, there's only one person who actually knows, and that's Srimati Radharani. How can I do this? How can I understand this form? So he came as a result of that realization and that desire. He came to this material world at the response of the call of Advaitacharya, because he comes regularly into this world. Yada yada yadamasya glani bhavati bhakti. He comes regularly. But sometimes, every once in a while, and not very often, once every 8,600,000,000 years, the time for the avatar to adjust the time-worn material culture mixes with this desire of his to come and give spontaneous love to everyone, regardless of their qualifications. And when that time comes, he has that experience, and he decides to come to this world in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the combined form of Radha and Krishna. Therefore, you see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu standing next to Radha Madan Mohan. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nayanya. Nayanya means there's no difference. If you think that there's a difference between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Radha and Krishna, then actually you're an atheist and you should get it together. Time to get it together. And just so that we would understand this, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he performed leelas that were literally out of this world. He went from the Jarikanda forest when he wanted to go to Vrindavan. And while he was going through Jarikanda forest chanting Hare Krishna, now we have eyewitnesses. This was only 500 years ago. This was when Columbus sailed the ocean blue in 1492. Lord Chaitanya appeared around that same time. And Prabhupada told us that India became so opulent at that time that even great explorers and entrepreneurs and Western people, they became attracted to India. And it was due to the presence of Lord Chaitanya and the opulences that naturally come into being when the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears. This is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam about the appearance of Lord Krishna. There's no difference between the appearance of Lord Krishna and the appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. None whatsoever. Every single personality in Krishna Leela has a corresponding personality in a Gauranga Leela. And it's up to us to find out. And it's not so easy, therefore it's rahasya. Therefore he's called Chana Avatar. He covered himself, and he's only available to those who will agree to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Who have heard that Maha Mantra from a person who has heard that Maha Mantra from a person who has heard that mantra directly from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. No one else is eligible. Of course, that number is getting bigger and bigger, and the more we, the more we take up this Sankirtan process, the more we go out and distribute books and chant Hare Krishna and give this taste to people, the more the desire of Lord Chaitanya is fulfilled. And then our hearts become more and more receptive. The way to Braj Prem, the way to the spontaneous love that Lord Chaitanya came to give us, is through the Dasya Ras of Lord Chaitanya. When we serve Lord Chaitanya by the Sankirtan, the process of Sankirtan, then by pleasing him, we can understand Radha and Krishna Leela, and we can become, we can enter into the knowledge of who we are in the spiritual world. There is actually no other way, especially in this age. Sankirtan Yajna is the only way to actually inspire the heart, infuse the heart with the proper intelligence and the proper understanding and the proper affection to be able to be genuinely attracted to Radha and Krishna. And that was Lord Chaitanya's teaching. He taught us how to worship Radha and Krishna, but he was Radha and Krishna. If this isn't Rahasyam, I don't know what is. So difficult to understand. Therefore, we need the mercy. We need the mercy of Lord Nityananda. We need the mercy of Lord Chaitanya to understand this subject. Because in order to get it, you have to give up everything else. Krishna said it. You know, real renunciation means that you just surrender to me alone, no one else. Of course, the magic is that when you do that, automatically you feel affection for everyone else, because you see, you're given the intelligence to see and the vision to see how everyone is actually a part of Krishna. And what separates us from one another on any level is forgetfulness of this eternal truth. It is the unifying potency. It is the only thing that can actually... And now we're living in a world which is so disparate. It's become so factionalized, top to bottom, inside and out. Families, friends, religious movements, politics, government. Now it's the economy. The whole thing is like, you know, it's like topsy-turvy. It's upside down, and it's a constant source of consternation for all of us. The only panacea is to actually be able to see the soul, to be able to see that everyone is actually, all living entities, are parts and parcels of Krishna, and not only deserve, but are, you know, our intimate associates in relationship to Krishna. Without that realization, it's not possible to get together really in love and affection. We'll always see the differences and fight about the differences. It's foolishness. Foolishness. Therefore, it is rahasya. It is rahasya. So, evaya mayatedya, yoga yukta puratana, bhakto sime saka cheti rahasyam yetad utamam. Utamam. It is rahasyam utam, not just rahasyam. Utam means the greatest secret. Rahasyam utamam. Everybody talks about the Uttam Adhikari. Who's the Uttam Adhikari? Well, this is, you know, this word Uttam comes right in the fourth chapter, beginning of Bhagavad Gita. Rahasyam Uttamam. And it is not a monopoly of one person or another. That's not Lord Chaitanya's teachings. He taught us, every one of us must become guru. Every one of us must take this Krishna consciousness and give it according to our capacity. We may have different capacities, that's all right. But whatever our capacities are, you know, this movement means to give this understanding, to give this love and affection. But you can't give what you don't have. And actually, we all have it. But it's covered by material conceptions. So the material conceptions must be removed. And this is the purpose of Lord Chaitanya's mission. To remove the material conceptions so that we can actually see ourselves, first of all, for what we are. Pure spiritual beings. Not the material body. And so that we can actually be attracted to one another on the spiritual platform through the medium of Harinam Sankirtan. This was the magic. And Lord Chaitanya showed it openly when he was getting back to the story. When he was going to Jarikanda Forest, the animals danced and chant. And we have witnesses. There's Kadacha. The Kadacha means notebooks. There are, you know, Murari Gupta, Surup Damodar, Raghunath Das Goswami, the notes of Krishnadas, Baladev Bhattacharya? No. The one that went with Lord Chaitanya's...
Balabhadra.
Bhattacharya. You know, in Krishnadas. They went with Lord Chaitanya, the Sanodhiyam Brahmana. So many persons witnessed these things as Lord Chaitanya was... And this is only, like I said, 500 years ago. They don't have any problem doubting whether, you know, Columbus sailed the ocean blue. Yes, people, do you believe it? Yeah, no, yeah, sure, why not? Did you see it? No. How do you believe it? I read it in school. They told me. Duh. They told me. What about Lord Chaitanya? No, that's, you can't. See? This is what Krishna does. He comes from time to time, and, you know, just try to understand how fortunate we are. Try to understand how fortunate we are and how foolish we are if we don't take advantage of it. Huh? 500 years, we're on the planet 500 years from Lord Chaitanya. He comes once every 8,600,000,000 years. So do the math. What's the percentage? What percentage is 500 of 8,600,000,000? What's the math? You're the genius. You're the genius in the room. You're the Mensa person. Tell us.
Well, 1 billion. Let's see. Can I give it to you after class?
Okay. We can be sure, if he can't figure it out like that, that it's a really big, really small number. It's a really small number. Really small percent. Doesn't even exist. It's not even a fraction of a fraction of a fraction of a fraction of 1%. We've heard the Maha Mantra from the mouth of Srila Prabhupada, whose heart was actually completely pure. The person who nobody disagrees that was completely pure. And we heard from his lips directly. And that's only how many persons? 10 or 11. It's either 10 or 11 persons removed from Krishna himself, Lord Chaitanya himself. And we're wondering why we actually can even continue to chant. That's the only reason. Don't think we have any qualification. What did we do the first 25 years of our lives? In my case, 26. What did we do? No way do we have any qualifications. This is our qualification. Prabhupada said, you know, he made us qualified. His Sangha made us qualified. So this is Mahabhagya. Mahabhagya means the greatest good fortune. We have been given the greatest good fortune. And if we don't go out and give this fortune to others, what happens? It is like a pot with a crack in the bottom. You put water into it and it goes out. You can't keep the force. You can't keep the desire. You can't keep the purity. You can't keep the potency. to perform devotional service. You can't keep the taste unless you give this to others. Never mind who you give it to, how you give it. Never mind, there's no hard and fast rules. When Lord Chaitanya spread this Sankirtan movement with the Panchatattva, they did not consider who was fortunate. They could not consider who was unfortunate. They didn't consider who was qualified, who was unqualified. They gave it to everyone. That was their potency. And to the degree that we become pure, we can taste that potency and we can give that potency. That is our only duty. And it doesn't mean that you have to change your position. Lord Chaitanya taught the verse. I'm too emotional, I can't think of the verse. Stanestita, shutikita, tananobano bir. Stay where you are. Give up speculating about who God is and who is great and who is this and who is that and what is this and what is that. And just hear. Just hear. Just hear from Srila Prabhupada who Krishna is and through those who are following Krishna Prabhupada strictly. And the effect is that we wake up. We know it. We don't need a certificate. Our hearts become satisfied. I remember one pastime when in 1975, when they opened the Vrindavan temple, and there was a procession in front of the temple, down to Vrindavan and back village, remember? And Srila Prabhupada started out on a rath. And then very soon, he decided to get down off the rath and walk with us. That was Prabhupada. He didn't want to get up on a rath. He wanted to walk with us. That's what he was doing. So he started to walk with us. And you can imagine, those of you who have been in Vrindavan, it was chaos. It was pandemonium. Everyone started to try to touch Prabhupada's feet all at once. You know? And there we were, you know. So the devotees that were surrounding Prabhupada, a few of Mursanyasis, they had their sticks, you know, their dandas. And they put the dandas out and they tried to keep the people from going close. And it was chaos. It was like, you know how it is in India. It was like tumultuous. You know? It was completely chaotic. It was like being in a hurricane of sound, you know? It was like being in a hurricane of sound. And then, I think it was Tamal Krishna Maharaj and a couple of others, they organized us. They had us lock arms and create these, you know, ropes, human ropes on either side of Prabhupada so that it would keep the people from coming and crushing Prabhupada, because that happens in India. It happens. Don't laugh. It happens. People die in stampedes out of devotion. Every year it happens in one place or another. So I was one of those persons in that, you know, in that human rope, right? You know, kind of. And it was amazing because I started out kind of like a little distance from Prabhupada, and it was like being in a hurricane. And the closer we got, because it would go like this. The rope would go like this, you know? And sometimes you'd get close to Prabhupada. Then sometimes you'd get moved away from Prabhupada. It was so mystical. And I talked to a couple of devotees. They had the same experience. The closer we got to Prabhupada, the calmer it got. And the calmer it got. And the calmer it got. Finally, when you were standing right next to Prabhupada, you entered the eye of the hurricane. There was no chaos whatsoever. It was calm. Not just calm. It was blissful. It was so, he was so extraordinary that next to anyone else, even big people, even big acharya, big people, he just was, it's like a sun and a candle. You know, you can't even, like fireflies at night and the moon. It was just like that. It was just like that. This is Lord Chaitanya's movement. This is Lord Chaitanya's potency. When someone fully surrenders without any false ego, without any desire to be the one, Prabhupada told us he was proud that his movement was known as the Hare Krishna movement. It was not known as the Prabhupada movement. Hardly anyone knew, actually. Because it's rahasya. It's rahasya. It's secret. And only a pure heart can see. Therefore, even though Lord Chaitanya tried to hide himself, the pure-hearted, they could see. And they wrote prayers and they took his instructions to heart and they wrote literatures, you know, which revealed the secrets of the spiritual world in such a way that has never even been dreamed of in this world. Details of Krishna's loving exchanges with his devotees that we cannot even, no one could ever in the history of the world even dream of. And now they're there by the grace of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan and their sincere followers. There's intimate knowledge available of the spiritual world by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. This is the Hare Krishna movement. Bhagavad Gita. We're speaking from one verse of the Bhagavad Gita. Huh? And then that's the ABCs, Prabhupada said. And then you have to unpack it. The Bhagavatam unpacks it, the Gita. And then the Chaitanya Charitamrita unpacks the Bhagavatam. And then the Rasa Shastras of the Goswamis of Vrindavan unpack the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And in this way you can swim in an ocean. And this ocean we want to drown in. Normally, if you can't swim very well, you don't want to go into the ocean because you don't want to drown. Who wants to drown? We want to drown in this ocean of Sankirtan. Sankirtan movement. The tsunami of Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement. The holy name. We all taste it every time we go out in Palo Alto and do that Harinam. We taste it. It is real. Every time we give the book and the person, we see in the eyes that person change on the spot from having touched the book or looked in the heart, the eyes of the devotee and seen that pure, innocent desire to give something wonderful because they have something wonderful. That is Lord Chaitanya's movement. That is Channa Avatar. That is the secret, most secret, rahasyam uttamam, secret of all secrets, that you can get it when you give up your attempt to get it for yourself and just try to give it to others. Give up your own attempt for yourself and just try to give it to others. This is what Prabhupada did. He gave up everything for us. He gave up Vrindavan. He was in Vrindavan. He was there. And not just in there physically. He was there spiritually. And he came out. And no one could understand. Why? Rahasyam uttamam. Even the great Goswamis in Vrindavan, the caste Goswami, they're all thinking, oh, Swami is just a businessman. Swami, he's very extra businessman. He could do it anyway. Anyone could do it because he was a businessman. He did because he's a businessman. This is like the story of Prabhupada told the story of Columbus and the king or queen or whoever it was, queen, and there was one person who was envious of Columbus and was criticizing him in front of the queen. So the queen made this proposal, he said. She said, we want you to stand this egg on its end. So the person who was criticizing Columbus tried. He couldn't stand it up. And then gave it to Columbus. He said, I want you to stand this egg on its end. And he went, crack. And he stood it up. And the guy said, why? Anybody could do that. You didn't really stand on an end. It was a trick. And she said, yes. And you didn't. And you didn't. You could not. Rahasyam. Rahasyam uttamam. Spiritual intelligence. how to do it, spiritual strength to do it. That was Srila Prabhupada. And that emissary of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this Hare Krishna movement. And today, the same potency is there. To the degree that we are pure, to the degree that our hearts are desirous of giving this to others, to that degree, the people feel the same nectar. So please worship the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya. Not just on this day, on every day, but special day, special opportunity to remember in a very sweet way, powerful way, together, all of us. Huh? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki
jai.
Sri Gaur Purnima ki
jai.
Sri Gaur Purnima Maha Mahotsav ki
jai.
Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Gaur Premanandi. Hare Krishna, thank you. Hare Krishna.